Daniel chapter 1, verse number 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. If the Lord will help us a little while tonight, I want to preach a little while tonight on surviving in this strange land. I know someone might ask, why would you use a title like that? I mean, we're here at home. We're in America. I don't know about you, but in the few years that are passing, it don't seem like the same place anymore. Amen. It's beginning to feel like a strange country, isn't it? Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm not talking politically now. Come on now. I'm just talking about the facts of life. It's beginning to look like a strange world. Amen. And I want to survive it. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. It's been preached. It's been taught. It's been exhorted in many ways, even by song, that sin has consequences. Amen. I think that's something our generation has lost sight of. And I'm not talking about just those outside the church. I'm afraid that sometimes even some of those that sit on the pews, Brother Bird, from week to week, they've lost sight of the fact that sin has consequence. Amen. And it's always bad. It's always a negative consequence. It'll take you, amen, farther. One songwriter said it'll take you farther than you want to go. And it'll keep you longer than you'll want to stay. Amen. I tell you one thing about sin, especially after you've known God and walk away, it seems like it's so hard to turn around and retrace those few steps. Amen. It's easier for a sinner, I believe, many times to get saved than it is a backslider. Amen. That had never known God. I think it's easier for them. Amen. Because the backslider's got to retrace his steps. Amen. But I'm telling you, sin's a horrible thing. And when sin is found, no matter where it's at, no matter whose life it is, it doesn't matter whose family it's in, when that consequence comes, amen, it comes swiftly. It comes quickly. Amen. It seems like the judgment of God. People think, well, I've heard that. I've heard that. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. I haven't seen it. Amen. And it's like it's not going to come. But it seems like when judgment does come, when it does finally show up, it comes rapidly. It comes quickly. Come on now. Amen. Here Israel is. And the reason they find themselves in this place is because of their sin. Amen. God had sent prophets. Amen. These prophets had challenged Israel. They had preached to Israel. Amen. Jeremiah, even with tears, pleading with these people to turn from their sin, turn back to God before it's too late. They scoffed, they laughed, they mocked, they rejected, they refused. They said, even to Jeremiah, they said, as for the words that thou hast spoken to us, we will not do it. We're not going to do it. We're going to keep living like we're living. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Amen. They didn't think there'd be no end. And yet, all of a sudden, seemingly, judgment came. The armies of Babylon, the Chaldeans, came down, and they were known as a very ruthless army. They came, and they invaded the land of Israel. Jeremiah, again, gives us some insight into some of the things that happened during that invasion. These were ruthless people. He said in the fourth chapter in verse 6, he said, for the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom that was overthrown as in a moment, and no hands stayed on her. In other words, there was nobody to help, no deliverer. And it came swiftly, amen, and Israel fell. When they did, here King Nebuchadnezzar had given charge to his armies to capture some of these children, some of these young people in the land of Israel. The Bible said in the third verse of our text tonight that he had told Aspenaz, the master of these eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. And to them, amen, they were going to teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Amen. So here they were now. They were brought away from their homeland. They were brought away from the environment that they had become familiar with, and they were taken away to the land of Babylon. It's not the first time something like this had happened. Amen. We read the story of Joseph. It's a very similar story. Joseph was taken away from his surroundings, his familiar surroundings, and taken to a strange land. Strange language, strange dress, strange doings, amen, strange customs, everything different than what he ever had known. Now we find these men, amen, these young men of Israel have been carried away. The idea was to get them away from their families, get them away from their homes, and even more so, get them away from their God, and in time we'll turn them in to Chaldeans. We'll make them to be just like us. Amen. And so now, amen, here they are, amen, in this strange land. They've really got something to confront here. They're in a strange land. Amen. And yet God is still God. Amen. God has not changed. Amen. And their desire is, amen, and their goal has got to remain to get out of this world and get to God's heaven. Amen. That's the only place we're ever going to be safe. Amen. Get to heaven. Amen. Get out of this mess and get to the other side. Amen. So here they are now in this strange place. Amen. What the people of Babylon didn't understand was, amen, this God of Israel was a little different than the other gods. Amen. The other gods made of stone, wood, idols that had been built up, some of them huge. Amen. You couldn't transport them from place to place. But this God of Israel is a little different. He goes with his people. Amen. Wherever they go, God goes. Amen. As long as they're faithful to God, it doesn't matter where that is. For when they carted Joseph off down to Egypt, put him on the auction block, sold him as a slave, amen, God was with him. Amen. You read throughout that text there of Joseph's life, over and over it tells us the Lord was with him. And I'm telling you, these young men now have been taken away from their home, been taken away from their family, been carried down to Babylon, but God was yet with them. I think it's an encouragement to us in this strange land that we're living in tonight. Amen. To know that God is still with us. We're not facing, amen, the trials of this present hour alone. Amen. The same God that was with our fathers, he's with us now. The same God that brought revival in yesteryear, it's the same God that can bring revival to our heart tonight. The same God that wrought miracles in days gone by is yet the same God. Somebody say amen here. He's still the same God. He said, behold, I am the Lord and I change not. How many believe God's the same God he's always been? How many believe God blessed you yesterday? He'll bless you today. And how many believe that God will see the same God and bless you yet again tomorrow? Amen. So though they carried these young men down to Babylon, thinking now we'll get them away from their God and we'll change them, amen, they didn't see that unseen God, amen, that still stood by their side. Now they're in this strange land and some things are going to start happening very quickly. And that's where we're at tonight. Things are happening quickly. Amen. It's not a slow-paced world anymore. Everything is fast, quickly. Amen. Things are changing at a breakneck speed. And I'm telling you, many, amen, are being swallowed up. Many are being left behind. Amen. Many are just giving out. Amen. But we must endure to the end. Amen. We've got to endure this thing. Amen. So now, amen, the pressure starts mounting. We've got to change them. We've got to turn them, amen, from what they are and make them what we want them to be. Amen. You realize during the tribulation, during that hour, there'll be a people that will be so devoted to the Antichrist. They'll be like zombies. Huh? They'll be like robots. Amen. They'll be programmed. That's why, listen, that's why the government wants your children. That's right. Come on here. That's why they want your children. They want to get them in their schools. They want to get them, amen, in their universities, amen, so they can program their minds and turn them. Listen, amen, I read just recently, amen, one of the largest crowds that scoff and mock religion is the educated crowd. Those, and it's not because of education. That is not the thing. It's because they've been programmed, amen, that there is no God. All of this is foolishness. It's, amen, it's base, amen, it's elementary, amen, it's foolishness, amen, but I'm telling you, it's true. It's true. Come on here. Amen. So what they want to do is just brainwash them. We get away from God. Get away from their families. We'll get away from all godly influence, and we'll make them to be Babylonians. Amen. So the first thing, one of the first things we got to do to survive this world, amen, and they faced it here. Let me read this to you. Amen. Verse 5 said, the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nursing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. That sounds pretty simple, don't it? Hey, amen. All it is meat and drink, and that's it. But what these young men knew, it was common knowledge. Listen, amen, we're not living in a world that's ignorant tonight. Amen. People know what's going on. Amen. We've got understanding. Come on here now. We cannot claim ignorance. Amen. They knew that this meat was meat that was first offered. Amen. First, amen, given unto idolatrous practices. Amen. Come on now. And they knew to eat this would defile them. Now, to eat meat within itself wouldn't defile them. But there's a reason that eating this meat would be a defilement to them. Amen. The first thing the devil would like you to do is just simply compromise. And if he can get you to compromise on a little thing, come on, help me preach. Amen. Not nothing major. He won't come with nothing big the first time. But if he can get you to compromise on a little issue, and then another little issue, and then another little issue, he's got you headed right in the direction he wants you to go. And I'm sorry to advertise this to you tonight, amen, but the fact of the matter is, we've got so many in our ranks that's already going down this road, amen, they're already starting to compromise, amen, override the conscience, amen, override the spirit of the Holy Ghost, amen, and they're giving in a little here, and giving in a little there, and they're going right down that road that the devil wants them to go on. See, what the devil wants to do, amen, he wants to absorb us into this society. He does not like the idea that we look different. Come on now. Amen. He wants to blur the lines, amen, of our dress. Help me preach a while. Amen. I feel like preaching, even if, amen, I hope you feel like listening. Amen. He wants to blur the lines. Amen. He wants us to dress like they dress. You realize tonight in a lot of our major Pentecostal movements, amen, the ladies have come in with their britches tonight. Huh? They've come in with their britches, their hair whacked off. Amen. Their eyes made up. Amen. Jewelry dangling off of them. Amen. They raised their hands with the silver and the gold. They're still going through the same motions they did in yesteryear, but they're doing things that they would not have done in years gone by. And that's as good as the devil wants. Amen. Getting them to compromise. Amen. On just a few things. We read the story. Amen. Jesus gave us the parable of the woman who had lost. Amen. That coin. Amen. She had 10. She just lost one. What's the big deal? Amen. Come on. What's the big deal? Why? Amen. Why worry about that? It's just one little coin. Amen. But the Bible said she took out a lamp. Amen. Lit that candle. And she went through that house. Amen. Searching. Amen. She looked and looked and searched until she found that one coin. And then she called her neighbors to rejoice with her. I found that coin that I'd lost. That woman realized, amen, if I'm willing to let go of one, there'll be a day when I'll let go of two, and then I'll let go of three. You hear me? If you can live on 9, amen, the devil will help you see your way to live on 8, and then the devil will help you see your way to live on 7, and then 6, and then 5. Come on, help me preach a while. The first thing the devil wants you to do is compromise. If we can just get them, amen, to step across the boundaries of their convictions and that they know's right. When Samson was anointed of God, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord moved upon him at times. And he was anointed. The same Holy Ghost that works in us worked in him. Amen. It wasn't Samson. If Samson, amen, they wouldn't have been able to pick him out in the lineup. Amen. Because he didn't look like Atlas. Huh? Amen. Didn't look like Hercules. Amen. Just a man. But the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, and that made the difference. Amen. You look at the steps that man made in his life. Amen. He violated the laws of God. Amen. You don't marry into other tribes. He did that. That was a violation. Amen. When Samson finally said, I'm willing to take this vow. Amen. And lay it on the line. Amen. I'm willing to put this on the auction block. That's when he messed up. Amen. He told her, if you just cut my hair, my hair's cut off. I'll be like anybody else. He's right. Amen. You lose your conviction. I feel like preaching tonight. You lose your conviction. You lose the things that God has pressed in your heart. You throw them aside. You'll be just like anybody else in this backslid world. When he did that, amen, went to sleep that time. Amen. She called for the barber to come in, cut his hair off. Amen. She woke up. She said, the Philistines be upon thee. He woke up, shook himself just like he had, and he wished not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. Amen. That time it cost him something. Amen. So the first thing is an attempt to get you to compromise. Amen. That's still the devil's goal. Amen. To get us to compromise. Not in major things at first. If he can just get us to compromise in just a few little things. Just a few little things. Amen. Don't we read in the scripture where he said it's the little foxes that spoil the vines? You leave this house tonight, the devil's smart enough, and I'm not trying to give him no credit tonight, but he's smart enough to know that if he'd come to you and say, hey, Brother James, why don't you stop down here and get you some beer and go home and get drunk? He knows you'd probably say, you crazy devil. You crazy. Amen. So he ain't going to do that. Amen. But he'll come in, amen, ever so sly. Amen. Ever so, come on here, crafty. Amen. It don't matter. Come on now. You know God. God don't care. God don't matter. It don't matter, God, if you do this. Amen. He'll talk you. Amen. I'm telling you, people have been taught right out of their convictions. And then once they violated it, they realized where they were at. And sometimes too proud to come back and repent. They just keep on going. That is a good way to fall into apostasy. Have your conscience seared with a hot iron and be lost forever. Hear me tonight. But the devil knew if I can get these boys away from home, I can get them away from their raisins, I can get them away from the elders that taught them to pray, even though they won't pray. If I can get them away from them, I can get them to compromise. I'll have them. So the first thing we got to do, we got to guard against our convictions, those things that God has dealt with our hearts about. Listen, while many will compromise, and many already have, there's always going to be some. There's always going to be a remnant that will not. Huh? God's got a remnant. Don't forget it. God has a remnant. In this text here, we find at least four. We don't know how many was in the crowd, but there's at least four of these boys. It said, we're not bowing, we're not bending, we're not compromising. Amen. Daniel, who was, see, it looks like, as far as we can read throughout the book of Daniel, the leader of this little group, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and we know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. But they made up their mind, we're not going to bend, we're not going to bow. So Daniel, the second thing that God does, now, if you want to survive, you got to hold on to your comfort, to your convictions. And the second thing that God will do for us, as we preach this morning on, amen, being encouraged, the second thing that we'll find God doing on our behalf, God will give us favor. Yeah, he will. God will grant us favor. Amen. I remember one time when I was still real young, and I'd started business for myself, and painting billboards. And back in that day, finally banned it, cigarette ads on billboards. But Back in that day, they were still doing cigarette ads. And another thing they were doing, amen, a lot of motels back then. Now, I don't think they do it as much now. But back then, a lot of motels across the country had lounges. And so if you get away from the cigarette ads, then you had the other thing to contend with. Amen. Motels were lounge and all this kind of mess. And I remember going to Raleigh and was talking with the men there at National 3M. Amen. Trying to get work, trying to stay busy, trying to make a living. And I sat down in the man's office, began to talk with him. And I told him, I said, now, and the devil tried to embarrass me over that, but I knew I had to stand. And I told him, I said, sir, I said, we don't paint cigarette signs, and we don't paint signs that's got lounge on it, things of that nature. Amen. We don't paint those kind of things. And the devil tried his best. Amen. Me knowing I had that meeting with that man at that office, and the devil tried to intimidate me. Yeah, you foolish thing, you go up there. Amen. You say that, you ain't getting no work. You're going to leave. You're going to go out of business. Amen. That's going to be the end of it. I sat in that man's office, amen, amen, and told him that. He looked at me and he said, you know what? He said, that's just fine. He said, man, we've got bundles of McDonald's signs, Burger King, amen, come on here, Hardee's. We got all kind. We got plenty of work, amen. You ain't got, we got plenty of other work. Thank God. I'm trying to tell you tonight, you don't have to compromise. You can stand, and God will give you favor when you do. How many know in this house tonight, when you stand for God, God will stand with you? Come on here. When you stand, Brother James. Amen. When you stand up with God, amen, God will stand by your side. Yes, he will. You're not going to stand by yourself. God will stand by you, and God will give you favor. While all this other crowd is over there eating this defiled meat and drinking this defiled wine, amen, Daniel calls in the, amen, this prince of the eunuchs. Amen, that God had given him favor with. I love this. Amen. And he said, amen, I want you to let us get by without eating this meat and defiling ourselves. Well, the eunuch told him, he said, you know, I fear my lord the king. Amen, that when he comes in and he sees your countenance and something's wrong with you, you get sickly. Amen, that I'll be held into account of this. Daniel told him, he said, listen, he said, prove us 10 days. Give us a 10-day trial run here. Amen, and in 10 days, if things ain't right, amen, then whatever you decide. Amen, but 10 days later, he come back in and looked at him like this. Amen, when he did, amen, at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Oh, how many know tonight God will stand with you? I'm telling you, God has given me favor. He's given you favor. He's given us favor, and God will not let us down now, but we've got to stand. If you don't stand, you'll stand, amen, by yourself. But if you'll stand for God, amen, he'll stand with you. You go at this alone, amen, you try to make it your way, you try to bend and bow and go the way of the world, you'll find yourself in a mess. Amen. But I'm telling you, these boys said, amen, we're standing up for God. We're going to stand for what we know is right. We're standing on the principles. Listen, I'm not a fool tonight. Hear me. Hear me. I'm not a fool. I'm not half as crazy as people think I am. I know how we can fill this church up. Huh? I know how to do it. I know how to do it. I really do. We got a big yard back here. We can build us a baseball team, a baseball field. We can get us a baseball team. Amen. This van, amen, it ain't being used much, but man, we can start running that thing back and forth to Carowinds. Huh? Back and forth to Disney World. I mean, every Friday night we could have our young people over at the bowling alley. Come on, help me preach. I mean, I know how to do it. I know how to do it. Amen. I'm not crazy. I know how to get this thing done. I mean, we can do this, we can do that. We can compromise here a little and there a little. Amen. Let down here a little, let down there a little. I mean, we pack the place out. Amen. But what have you got? Come on now. I said, what have you got? Amen. Because even as God said, amen, to Israel, but concerning Israel in the book of Jeremiah. Amen. They refused to hear God. They refused to live right. But God said, but what are you going to do in the end thereof? What you going to do at the end of the day when you have to stand before God and give an account of yourself? I'd rather go to heaven with this little crowd than go to hell with a packed house. Amen. I'd rather have favor with God with this little crowd, amen, than be out of God's favor with a big crowd. Amen. I understand. I'm not trying to blend in with this world. I'm just trying to survive and get out of here. Amen. I know soon and very soon there's a 7-year tribulation befalling this earth right here. And my Bible tells me, Jesus told us, pray that you may be counted worthy to escape them things that are to come. I tell you, you can't play and be counted. You got to pray to be accounted. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God gave them favor. Amen. And there's another thing here. And people act like this is a secret here. Amen. But these boys prayed. Now listen, they didn't just start praying when they got down here. They had been taught to pray. There's a lot of people been taught to do right. They just ain't doing it. Huh? Amen. That's right. That's a sad fact. But there's a lot of people that know what's right. They just don't do what's right. Amen. So they begin to put into practice that they knew to do. Now we could go, amen, sit down and get us a burger and some French fries and talk this thing out. And there ain't one of you tonight that wouldn't say and wouldn't agree with me, I know I need to pray. I know we need to pray. Could I see a show of hands here? How many people realize God pray? Three of us. How many more? Let's see. Hey, we got to pray. That's right. We've got to pray. Amen. Daniel, amen, and these other three boys, they're in a predicament now. They're in a place. They're in a strange land. And they know it ain't just, amen, just a convenient, amen. It's an absolute necessity. It's, listen, praying is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of survival, amen, or going under. Oh, sweet Lamb of God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's a matter of survival, amen, in a world like this. We got to pray. Amen. They picked up very quickly in the second chapter. The king had a dream. Now, these boys had been brought in. They were going to be trained. They were going to be a part of the court. Amen. To be able to, amen, expound dreams and be able to give interpretations and understanding hard things and give advice. That's what they're going to be taught for and trained for. And now, amen, the king's got a dream. Amen. But the king woke up the next morning. He was troubled. So he calls in these Chaldeans, these soothsayers, and, amen, all these men. Amen. He said, listen, he said, I've had a dream, and I want you to interpret my dream. He said, but I got one problem. He said, I don't remember the dream either. He says, well, I want you to tell me what I dreamed and give me the interpretation of it. Oh, I kind of hit a snag with these boys because most of the time they come up with something. I mean, they come up with something that sounds good most of the time. Amen. They told the king, they said, listen. They said, you know, ain't no king asked nothing like this. Amen. He said, if you will show the dream, amen. He told them, if you'll show me the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive gifts and rewards. Amen. And great honor. But they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone, for you're stalling. You're stalling, amen. Just tell me the dream, and if you'll tell me what I dreamed, I know you can tell me the interpretation. Amen. They said, listen, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such thing at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. Nobody don't ask anything like this. The king was angry. Amen. Sent out a decree, I'm going to kill a whole lot of you. Amen. Well, this also meant Daniel and these other three boys here, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah would die as well. Daniel goes home. Amen. And the first thing Daniel does, he goes before the king, and he said, give me a little time here, and we'll show you. He goes home, and he tells, amen, his friends here, amen, what's going on, and that they would desire mercies. Gets with them, amen. We got to pray. We got to desire mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret. And they get to praying. And that night, amen, in a dream or in a night vision, God bless, amen, Daniel, amen, he gave him the interpretation, and Daniel woke up and worshiped God, bless God, amen, and Daniel answered, said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, amen. Daniel, amen, they learned
there is value in prayer. It's not just a convenient thing to do. It's a matter of survival. Amen. If we don't pray, if we don't listen, hear me tonight. Amen. If we don't pray and get a hold of God, amen, we're going to be swallowed up, amen, in this evil world. You hear me tonight? Amen. We will not survive. Amen. I'm speaking prophetically here, and I'm serious. We will not survive if we do not pray. There's other times, amen, throughout this book of Daniel, amen, that they ran into situations that the only thing that made them survive was the fact that they had contact with God, contact with heaven. You know, the time when the king raised up his great image, wanted everybody to bow to it. And when everybody did bow, everybody bowed except three men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow. They were brought in. And they told the king, they said, we're not careful to answer you in this. Amen. We don't have to hesitate. We don't have to study or wonder about what we're going to say. Here's the simple fact, sir. We're not going to bow. We will not bow. Cut our head off. Do whatever you want to. We're not going to bow. He said, who is the God that will deliver you? They said, oh, our God will. And even if he don't, we're still not going to bow. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I'll give you another chance. I'll let the music play. Give you another shot at this. They wouldn't bow. Amen. He got the mighty men. Amen. They bound them at every piece of clothes they had, throw them into the burning, fiery furnace that was heated up seven times hotter than ever before. That king said, this is it. I've got them now. Amen. After they should have been toasted, he looked in. Amen. He looked back and he said, listen, didn't we throw three men in there? They said, yes, O king, three. We throw three in there. He said, I see four men, loose and walking. And he said, and that fourth one looks like the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. It was as if the Lord saying, boys, amen, you stood for me, and now I'm standing for you. Amen. Come here. We'll walk around in here. We'll just walk around in here till he calls you out. Amen. You're all right, ain't you? Amen. You're fine. Amen. They know your clothes aren't burned. Amen. Not even a smell of smoke had passed on him. The king called them out. Amen. He called them out, and then he said, I make a decree. If anybody speaks against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going in the fire. I'm telling you, God will stand for us. We can survive. I said we can survive, but we got to stay close with God. We got to stay close to God if we're going to. Peter tried walking afar off. Brother Jonathan, that don't work. You'll fail. You'll fall. You'll succumb to the pressure if you walk afar off. But there, I'm telling you, there's, amen, there's safety in walking close to God and praying. Amen. Daniel, amen, was challenged. Daniel had been blessed, amen, elevated in the kingdom. And they were men that were jealous. They wanted to see him fall. So they tried to get something together. And they came to the conclusion, and I like this. They came to the conclusion, they said, listen, we ain't going to be able to get nothing on him unless we find something concerning God. Huh? That's the only way we're going to be able to trip him up. We got to find something concerning his religion. Amen. So they went to the king and had him to sign a decree that for the next, I think it was 30 days, no man's going to pray to no other God, nobody but you, king. No petition can be asked of anybody but of you. And the king, in his haste and in his foolishness, signed the decree. Daniel knew what had happened. He got word. News got out. They made sure Daniel knew the decree had been signed. Daniel went home just like he'd always done. Raised his window up toward Jerusalem. Toward Jerusalem, just like Solomon had prayed. And he said, Lord, if your people's carried away to a strange land and they pray looking toward this place, hear thou from heaven. Amen. Daniel knew the prayer. Amen. Daniel raised that wind, amen, and got down on his knees and began to pray. And they heard him praying. Amen. They came to the king. They said, oh, king, didn't you sign this decree? He said, yeah, I signed it. He said, we caught him. We caught Daniel. He's been praying. Amen. Again, the king realized he'd been called. The king realized. Amen. He'd been trapped, but he couldn't back out. Amen. Because the law of the Medes and the Persians was that it could not be changed. Amen. So they took Daniel down and threw him alive into the den of lions. It wasn't a lion's den, because a lion's den could be empty. It was a den of lions. Amen. They threw him in alive, rolled the stone up. Amen. And the king went home that night and he paced the floor. Oh, my. Amen. What's going to happen? Amen. They tricked me. Amen. Got rid of my best man. Amen. A praying man. Amen. They've caused me to sentence a man that's a godly man. Amen. He got up early in the morning. He ran down to the, amen, to the den of lions. Amen. He cried with a lamentable voice. He said, "Oh, Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest continually, is he able to deliver you?" And Daniel cried out. He said, "Oh, King, live forever. Had the best night's rest I've had in a while. Thank God. Ain't a scratch on me. Everything's all right. I've been a praying. God's blessed me. I have survived. I'm surviving in this strange land because I'm a praying. I'm talking to God. I'm seeking the face of God. And while others are and left and right, we're going on." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can make it. We can survive it. Amen. We can survive it. And listen, and I'm talking about when we come out of the end, I ain't talking about just barely getting out of here. I'm talking about coming out of here, and the Bible said an abundant entrance will be administered unto us. Amen. We can leave this world. Amen. We can finish this course. The Apostle Paul said, amen, I finished it with joy. With joy. Amen. Isaiah, I believe it is, said, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water from the wells of salvation." I'm telling you, we can survive. We can make it all the way to the end. But we got to do what we got to do. Amen. No room for carelessness. Ain't no room for playing. Amen. We got to be earnest. Amen. The Apostle Peter tells us, amen, that we have an adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion. Amen. Walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And therefore he exhorts us to be diligent, to be wise, to be sober. Amen. We got to fight this good fight if we're going to survive.